So we are starting a series today, and this is going to be a little bit of a kind of dash-through sermon because we wanted to make sure we enjoyed some blues music this morning. Anybody like blues music? Anybody have a good time? So here's kind of how this started. We were looking at the calendar of both the church and the community, and we said, you know what? They're doing a festival downtown. And I like blues music, but I also like air conditioning. And so this is a great way to enjoy both here at the church and just kind of to kind of keep the party going throughout the weekend. And it coincides with a couple of things. First of all, Kenji mentioned tonight, would love for you to come and be a part of Second Sunday. We're going to be doing some more blues music there. Also got some ribs. We felt like that was appropriate with the Memphis connection of blues. And it's going to be a great time. And I'm actually going to be walking through a teaching called Psalms, Spirituals, and the Blues. And so it's going to kind of trace the threads between those three different types of music and writing and just kind of see where God can be found in that, where the good news is in the blues. And so I know there's a golf tournament on this afternoon, but if you're able to be here, we'd love for you to be here. It's going to be a great time, great food, great fellowship, Second Sunday. No cost, you can drop in a donation, but it's just going to be a great time for us to enjoy being together and walking through that together. And my hope is that it will kind of encourage your soul as you hear about how God responds to the blues, how God responds to us in moments of despair. And so we're looking forward to that. But it also coincides with us launching this new sermon series called Awaken to More. And for me, this is just a fun Sunday because I get to play guitar, and that's awesome. Like, I love playing guitar. And for me, a lot of times what I think about in my life when I kind of get into a rut, when maybe I feel dry, I don't know if you've ever had seasons where you feel dry spiritually, where you feel as though you're kind of down in the dumps, down in the blues. And what we look for in those moments is, okay, how can I kind of have like a personal revival? How can I have kind of a sense of being restored, of being awakened? And oftentimes we find ourselves going, I want to be awakened to more. I just don't know what steps to take. I don't know where to go. I don't know exactly what it is that needs to be made alive in me. Well, over the course of this series, we're going to look back at these seven letters that start off the book of Revelation. So Revelation is an apocalyptical writing. I know that's not a word we use very often, but basically it is written with kind of a future idea in mind, but it was also written in a very particular time to a very particular group of people, and the people that it is addressed to are these seven different churches. And there's kind of a key idea we're going to be looking at as we go through this, if we could get that up on the screen. So the key idea we're looking at is, what is the more that God has in store for us? What is it that we are supposed to experience in our lives? What is it that can make that difference of us feeling awakened, of us feeling refreshed, of us encountering hope in our lives? What is the more that God would have for us? And we think about this, and we think about it from a personal standpoint. Maybe you've gone through a season of the blues. Maybe you've gone through a season where you haven't felt maybe connected spiritually. Perhaps it's just you feel like you're in a rut in life, and you feel like you're just constantly on the hamster wheel and never seem to get anywhere. And you might be wondering, okay, is there more to life? Is there more for me in this? Or maybe it is something where you were growing in your life spiritually, and you kind of hit a rut. You hit a kind of a speed bump. And just over time, you drifted away, and you find yourself wanting to reconnect, wanting to find hope in the midst of it. So that's kind of the question for us personally, is what is the more that God has in store for us? But there's also a corporate sense to this. When we look at this, all of these letters here at the beginning of Revelation, they make up chapters 2 and 3, and we're going to look through all that those entire two chapters over the course of the next 6 weeks. What they communicate is messages to groups of people. They were designed with churches in mind. Now, I've got a map that shows you kind of where these places are. There will not be a quiz on this, and you are not expected to know where this is in the modern world map. But all of these places, they're marked by stars. So you have Ephesus is the first one. It's kind of in the bottom left star. And all of these are in what we would call Asia Minor in the ancient world. And Ephesus is in modern-day Turkey. I'll try to identify where all the others are as we go through them in case anybody is interested. But these were prominent churches. These were prominent communities back in the time of the first century, back as Christianity was really getting going. The book of Revelation was written towards the end of the first, maybe beginning of the second century. And it is communicating basically what were the challenges that churches were experiencing back in those days. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler because this is something we're going to see over and over and over again as we go through these different letters. Challenges, spiritual challenges that churches encountered back in the first and second century are the same spiritual challenges that we face today. The culture may be different. The world we live in may be completely different, but the Spirit of God has not changed, and the Spirit that's within us has not changed either. And so we find ourselves facing some of the same temptations, some of the same struggles that they faced back then. So in addition to kind of the personal wrestling of what is the more for me, we also have the question of what is the more for our church? What is the more for the people of God? What is the more that we might experience in response to what God wants to do and what God might want to do that's new in our lives? So with all of that said, here's kind of our key question for today. It deals with this idea of awakening love. And so here's our question for today. How do we awaken or reawaken love? Now, I mentioned that this morning was fun for me because I get to play guitar. Whenever I get to play guitar, it is like this rekindling of love. For me, going back to the beginning of my spiritual journey was so interwoven with playing music in church. The joke was when I bought my first guitar, we're going to the music store. You've probably heard me tell this story before, but we're going to the music store, and my mom says, we should pray that you learn how to play the guitar. I said, that is a prayer worth praying. And as we're going to the store, she prays, and she prayed for God to give me opportunities to play in church, to which I did what every 11-year-old boy would do. I rebuked my mother. Not a very good thing to do. But I said, no, I want to be a rock star. I want to be a rock star instead of play at church. And then the joke ended up being on me. Within a few years, I was playing in church pretty regularly. And up until the point that I became kind of a full-time pastor, it was what I did. Like every single Sunday, every single Wednesday night, that was my involvement in the church. And so for me, reawakening love, experiencing love again, is kind of going back to that first love and experiencing it from the standpoint of how can I connect with God and music. Now, as we look at the story of Revelation, though, there are a few things that we see within this second chapter, within these first seven verses in the letter to the church in Ephesus, that I think speak directly into our lives and how we approach this and how we awaken and reawaken love. So I've got my notes over there, so if you would just kind of scan through these. All right, here we go. So verse 2 says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. So far, so good. This is what Jesus sees in the church in Ephesus, and so far, it is all positive. Then we get to verse 3. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. So we're still talking positively here. Here's the yet. Verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. Get back real quick. You have forsaken the love you had at first. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Now, here's the thing about the church in Ephesus. More than likely, they looked okay on the outside. People probably looked at their church and thought they were thriving. People probably looked at them and said, oh, people are still coming to church services. They're still doing good things. They're standing up against false doctrine. They're doing things. They've got the right teaching and everything. But Jesus looks at them and he says, there's something missing. You have forsaken your first love. You have forsaken the love you had at first. And so the very first thing that we see within this, that we encounter within this letter, and it's a challenge for us spiritually, is we've got to get the full picture. We've got to get the full picture, and here's what I mean by that. It's good to celebrate what you are doing well. It's good to celebrate the great beliefs that you have, or the great music ministry you have, or the great programs you have within your church. But the full picture might mean there might be something missing. There might be something that's not quite there. And so what Jesus says is, as he looks at this church, these are the words of Jesus spoken to the angel of that church, is he says, I want you to return to your first love. I want you to see that you have forsaken your first love. And because you have forsaken your first love, you are missing out on all that God has in store for you. So then we get to verse 5, and this is what verse 5 says. This is where he kind of gives some direction for how they respond to that. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Now, there are two key things underlined there. do the things you did at first. And then if not, I will remove your lampstand from its place. In other words, he's looking at this church that is doing so many things well. And yet there's one thing that is missing. It's kind of like getting a performance evaluation at work. And in the performance evaluation, he's looking at them and he's saying, okay, you're at work on time. You understand the company policy. You can quote the company manual backwards and forwards. But there's something within the mission of our organization that you're not getting right. And unfortunately, that part is the most important part. Jesus looks at them, he says, you've got so many things going in the right direction, but you're missing this most important thing. You have forsaken the love you had at first. And so how do you get back to that? You do the things you did at first. I asked Emma about this last night, and I mean, kind of the idea we're getting at is we have to get back to the right practices. And she and I were talking about, okay, all right, when you look back on our relationship, we've been together, we've known each other for almost 20 years, we've been almost married 17 years, and so we know each other. You know me, right? Okay, we've met. All right, so there are aspects of our relationship where we don't have to like learn, you know, favorite colors, what foods we like, and things like that, but there's still more of each other to know. And one of the things that was so characteristic of us when we first started dating was we were very intentional about getting to know each other. We actually had this really fun date that we did one time where I had this little matchbox and I put all these different questions in it. And so she would just kind of randomly pull questions and then we would talk about it and things like that. It was super cute. The problem was that I wove in there two kind of like sneaky complimentary questions. So it was like, did you know you were beautiful? Something like that. And there were two of them in a box of like 20 questions, but she drew them back to back. And when she drew them back to back, she's like, is this what the whole box is going to be? And I was like, no, it's fine. So just keep going. And so, but we read through those, and it was our way of getting to know each other. And there are moments, if we want to get back to what we did at first, where we have to go, all right, are we curious about each other? Are we interested in each other? Do we enjoy being with one another? Are we still pursuing one another? And those are the things that can reconnect us and get us back to where we need to be. So the question is, what does that look like in our relationships with God? Can you think of a time when you were growing spiritually? Can you think of a time when, you know, the faith was just alive for you? Can you think of a time where you had encountered Jesus and all you wanted to do was learn more? What were the things you did? What were the practices that were a part of your life? That's what God is calling us back to. When we think about this from the standpoint of being a part of the faith, for many of us, it might be a prayer practice. It might be when I had this devotional, that was what just really helped me connect and helped make things clear to me, and I need to find something like that again, or maybe go back and read it again and experience it all over again. Maybe it was a Bible reading plan, and you've gotten out of the habit of it, and God might be calling you to get back to explore it and to see it kind of with fresh eyes again. What are the practices that God might be calling you to get back to? I think about this from the perspective of a church. You might not think about what does the church need to do as much as I do. It's kind of part of my job, and so I think about this on a regular basis. What are the things that God might want us to do? And I was thinking about this from the standpoint of the idea of the lampstand. So it's talking about the lampstand. It's talking about your witness. So the lampstand would be kind of what shines to the community, what shines to the world as your witness and describes who you are as a church. And I was thinking through, I was like, there are so many things that we did at once that we have gotten back to. Back when I first got here, I heard people talk about how we used to be more involved in missions. We used to be more involved in the community. And over the course of the past few years, we found new ways to do that. We found new ways to be engaged and to be involved. It doesn't look exactly like it did 10 years ago, but we're still embracing it and doing new things. But then you go back even further and you're like, okay, what was it that made this church so vibrant for such a long time? And I go back to the 1940s. I was not around then. I won't say out loud who was. But if you go back to the 1940s, this church was a part of the South Georgia Conference of the Methodist Episcopal Church, I think is what it was called at the time. We've had so many names. But this church was a part of the conference that was growing faster than any other conference in the entire world in Methodism. And guess what church was growing the fastest? This one right here. This one right here. What was it about the 1940s? It was a constant desire and passion to see new people come to encounter Jesus. If we want to get back to the things that we did at first, we're going to have to go back before even most of us were around. But to reclaim that passion, to reclaim that hope, to reclaim that belief that the words of Jesus, the good news and the blues, the good news to encounter the blues of life is what is the hope for people's lives. And if we could take a hold of that, if we could live into that, God can do anything through this church. And if we get back to that and we embrace that as not just a love, but a calling upon us as people of God to make sure that people encounter that love and encounter that hope, then we can start to see God restore that lampstand and God do new and exciting things, and we could be awakened to more. Now, here's the payoff. You read to the end of the section. We get to verse 7, and this is what Jesus says. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. So what's he saying there? He's saying, if you will return, if you will repent, if you will embrace the things that you are called to do as the people of God, there's going to be a restoration there, and there's going to be a renewed sense of hope for you. And the image that is given there is that of the tree of life, which takes us all the way back to the first creation. And he's saying, that's what will be restored to you if you embrace this and embrace the entire picture of what God is calling you to do. So as we close out the service, this is just kind of like an intro to where we're going with this series. But this series is really an invitation to us to just simply wrestle with those questions. Where do I need to grow? Where is God calling me to change? Where is God calling me to go deeper? And from that, where can we as a church embrace that and take the steps that we need to do? Oftentimes, it doesn't involve doing something new. It means embracing what God has done in us before again.